walk away with that great opponent by tagging.
Welcome to that Eddie Show, and we are in a very different space today.
It's literally a space.
Almost literally. We've been away for a little while on that Eddie Show.
And we've been Bueller.
For a reason, because we've been setting this up, doing something very interesting as one of our final shows for the year. Not our final show for the year, but one of them. And we are live on this thing called TikTok.
Yes.
You're Dari, but if you're watching this on TikTok, don't worry, you don't just have to watch on TikTok. We're going to put this up on our normal feed, and we're not going to do that annoying thing that a lot of video podcasters do where they like talk about what they see and then like leave you out of it. Kind of like what we're doing to Noel right now.
but we have to talk about Noel's cool shirt.
So look, we're going to get there. So what we're doing here on that Eddie Show is a live stream TikTok show as the man doing the shoutcasting next to us.
Yes.
Very conveniently at 12 o'clock starts talking right next door to us. This is going to be live. This is going to be one of those things. Dari and I, we haven't been live on that Eddie Show for
years.
So Noel said, oh, you know, being live must be a different experience. I was like, no, Dari and I are used to it. Yo, we haven't done a live show for 5 years. So actually, we're not used to it.
Yeah, since pre-COVID.
And even then, we were in a nice closed-off booth where we could do what we wanted and was alone. We could close the curtains. We made Wham Corner nice and warm.
Flash.
And moist.
Flashed. Yeah. Moist.
Pretty much like this. Very warm.
Very moist.
Very warm, yeah. So if you do see a sweating, a bit of a Rudy Giuliani moment, Matt Noel's concerned about that. He's concerned about his mullet being de-poofed. So if you
need... Mullet was a bad idea.
Indeed. So listen, some of you might be on the stream on space.tm on their TikTok stream and don't know who the hell we are. We are the number one 80s-related show on the continent. Top five in the world.
In the world?
Top five in the world, the last I checked, talking about 1980s. And we have a podcast every week where we kind of like mesh together the 80s of the 80s and then the 80s of now. You know, kind of think of us like Stranger Things.
Basically yes.
Like Stranger Things, except without pretending to be teenagers.
I do pretend to be a teenager sometimes. I mean, look how I'm dressed.
So we're gonna talk a little bit about us. So those of you who know us, you will know Noel Opperman. He is the curator supreme of the Retro Fair. When we met him, it was just Pretoria Retro Fair. Now it is Retro Fair, right?
Going global.
Everything you see here today is Noel's. You can get it retrofair.co.za.
Retro12. We moved the domain, so hopefully that will be up and running by Monday.
Fantastic. So look at some of the stuff here. You see, I love the Ghostbusters, man. That's Ghostbusters 2. I've got to tell you, when I was a kid, that's Ghostbusters. What's the ghost in Ghostbusters? He's got a name in that logo there behind you. He's got a name.
Do you know the name?
No, I should know the name. As a kid, I used to draw that. If I have to tell you, yeah. You know the little S we used to draw as kids in school?
Spussy.
I used to draw that. The two fingers. That's
such a sweet child.
The videos on Noel's. Noel's, tell us a story about how you came in possession of some of these video cassettes.
I am in the very fortunate position that because I have this mullet, people, random strangers just walk up to me. If they have something to sell or if they found something in their grandfather's closet, they phone me. On that note, by the way, kids, if you ever find videotapes in your parents' closet,
do not watch them.
Do not watch them.
Even if they say Auntie Fran's wedding, yes. Do not watch them.
You know, these days of like, oh no, I mistakenly sent something wrong to a family WhatsApp group. Can I delete it off the iCloud? You're like, you probably could. But we had the hard evidence. We had hard evidence back in the day. So people approach you, say, hey, do you want to buy some video cassettes I found in my grandfather's cupboard?
I bought about 5,000 tapes off this one guy. He bought old video stores up.
Yeah.
He thought it was going to bring it back. And his wife literally told him, if you don't get rid of this, I'm going to leave you. So he gave me them all for free.
Oh, wow.
And he gave you the stands as well.
Stands as well. And I'm in that position now where Lara is telling me that if I don't get rid of them...
You're that guy now.
So, yeah, I'm that guy.
You're that guy
Who's
now.
Who's the next generation?
probably my little nephew.
I've met him. He definitely is. I think you're having a very, from our perspective, a very good influence on him.
Yes.
From his parents' perspective, stay away from.
Not so much.
You're not going to a weird uncle. You're the weird uncle.
He is a gamer of note, though. Okay. He would have loved this.
So Noel, that is called a fantastic segue.
Yes.
A fantastic segue, because we are not only broadcasting on Space's TikTok stream, we are at Rage. And when I first said Rage, I was like, not the matric holiday.
Mm. Everyone thought I was going to Margate.
No.
So, really, the 80s all over.
Very 80s.
That's what I'm saying. Margate. Wow. Could you have a more 80s holiday destination than Margate? And it's Rage, the Gamers Expo. And I mean, I took a walk around earlier, right? And there are a lot of cool, like, listen, gamers nowadays, right? But I look at these youngsters, barely of 15, 16 years old. What do they call them? Gen Z?
Gen Alpha.
Gen Alphas, Gen Zs, Gen Alphas.
Gen Z, Gen Alpha.
Oh, you know what? I saw a man arrive with some fans.
Only fans.
The only one fan.
I have my only one fan.
And he walked right past us. And I looked at all these kids playing their games, and they got, wow, it's online, and you got virtual this and this. Listen, kids, I got to tell you, look at Uncle Paulo right here. If it were not for the 80s, you would have no video games.
Absolutely nothing.
I agree. We were doing the video games in the 80s, right? So here's how it starts off. No. Tell me your video game playing experience back in the 80s.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I was a little bit of a kleptomaniac when it came to 20 cents. So I was in my mother's handbags the whole time. I know you're not supposed to do that. But if we couldn't find enough Coke bottles to exchange for 20 cents at the Portuguese Fontana Cafe, it might be one of yours. I would get 20 cents, and then when you go to the corner shop, we used to have these game consoles with only one game on. So it was only Pac-Man or Space Invaders or... So it's not like today where you could choose which one you wanted to play.
Well, that's the thing, right? And you say the 20 cents. Like, not one of these kids has lined their 20 cents up on anywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway. And that's the thing. If you, in the beginning, once you start playing that game, it will cost you like 2 rand. Like 10 coins.
And that was your father's salary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in 1983.
And then after a while,
inflation.
You would pack your coins, so... The next guy, but then the more you play the game, the more you level up, of course. So one coin could make you a legend. 1 20 cent, you would have this crowd behind you, all 14 year olds smoking and just hanging at the cafe.
My claim to fame on video game, no, kids, we're talking the corner cafe, right? So imagine like the petrol station stores now, that, but smells like fish and chips all the time. When you had to go there, your parents would say, no, you're not wearing your good clothes. Go put on your garbage bag, and then you can go and play whatever you want, right? So we'd go off, we'd play that. My claim to fame, I finished Contra on 60 cents.
Huh.
60 cents Contra,
right? Single player, obviously.
We were two. There were two of us playing.
Uncle Louis Louis.
Cousin Louis Louis's brother. Cousin Louis Louis.
So was, Uncle Louis Louis.
He was a bit older than us. He's a little bit older than us. Not older than us. That's another weird thing, right? Like, when a cousin was 5 years older than you as a kid, wow, that's real.
They were grown up, man.
Now we're like, oh yeah, we're kind of like, we're in our 40s. Yeah. You know, we're kind of that range. And, but we finished it on 60 cents, claim to fame.
Fantastic.
Right? Dory, your arcade experience?
Well, as I've spoken about on the show many times, Pan Burgers made the best burgers.
So just, you know, we got a lot of new people. Like,
okay.
You know, potentially 65,000 people, probably three. Hi, Mom.
Anyone who grew up in Joburg in the 80s will remember Pan Burgers in Savoy. And they made the best burgers. And aside from that, they had a bunch of arcade games. I would beg for those 20 cent pieces, and I would play Pac-Man every time we went. I would play Pac-Man. That was my thing. I also had one of those little mini Donkey Kong things.
Shout out Donkey Kong. Donkey
Shout
Kong.
Out Donkey Kong.
I was like, today I was like, I've got to be gamer. I've got to be 80s gamer. So not only do I have my Donkey Kong t-shirt, I've got my Super Mario Brothers bag in the corner there. You got it. It's a bag printed like it's a double-sided bag.
Okay.
So on the inside or on the outside, whichever way, is Super Mario Brothers level one, all the blue, like, you know, where you start that one. And on the outside, the black side is, or the inside or the outside, whichever side.
The other
right?
side.
The other side is level 1.2. That's C. And that's my bag. So I'm kind of like, do I have enough cred? Do I have enough 20 cents in the bank? Probably not. So Pac-Man, were you a Miss Pac-Man?
Because I didn't quite really liberal. Care. Yeah, you no, I didn't care. Really care which one. I just enjoyed the game.
Okay. Then, next thing happens, kids. Now listen, we're taking you through the history of video games thanks to the 80s. Then we get the consoles, right? But of course, South Africa, we're a little bit like, no one likes us at that point. So we can't exactly get Nintendos legally. And we're getting ourselves golden Chinas. Suddenly, no, you've got some people looking at your merch.
Yeah.
they're looking at your merch.
Consoles.
Exactly. And we get consoles in home. And now suddenly you're playing Super Mario Brothers. You're playing Pac-Man. And it's going upwards and upwards, right? Were you lucky enough to get a console? Or was
Yeah. We were for normal people, I was quite spoiled, to be honest with you. My parents, I never had the Atari, which I was quite jealous of.
I think it's kind of better, because if I played the Atari back then, I might never have played video games again.
No, I loved it. We had the Intellivision was the first one that we got, the golden one that I've got in front of me. So you do not get anything more retro than that game console.
Explain how that thing works. Can you reach forward and grab it and pick it up?
Yes,
is it a mission?
No.
So it's, I thought it was like an old fax machine, right?
It looks like,
like one.
So you would
or
slide
Teledex.
The console, the game console in, and you would slide a little slidery paper thing inside here.
So if you're listening later in the week, so like we said, it looks like a Teledex. Remember that thing that you used to keep your phone numbers in?
Yeah.
And then you go, right. So it looks like one of those, but massive. I was going to say phone book size, but then I have to explain what a phone book is, right? And it's got
the first Nokia size, there's Motorola size.
And then it's got this like attached to a wire, kids.
Yeah.
Our phones used to be attached to wires.
One of those coily ones that always gets like, you know,
tangled up. Or untangled. Remember when they got untangled?
Yeah.
That was the worst.
Look at this thing.
Yeah.
There's one that is tangled and no one knows who does that.
That is deviance. If I was told to keep it PC, so I will reel back on that joke. Okay, but then it's got a little keypad.
Yeah, so depending on which game you put in, let's say it's baseball, for instance. You would slide a little, you would get your game console in with two slider paper thingies, slide them in. Depending on the game, these would be your controls then, with that fantastic knob over there, golden knob.
How
it is the epitome of technology.
How long did it take to set that up?
It was
quick.
Okay, the first time it took you forever because brother had to be on top of the roof. You would stand at the door and dad would sit there figuring it out. You know, a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right.
Yeah.
You know the story. But
so,
once you've set it up, good to go.
Kids, that's technology. And then the next thing we get is, was it the Commodore, but the
Commodore
one with the video cassette.
That was the ZX Spectrum.
The ZX Spectrum. So the next thing we have is like, now I've got to explain what a tape cassette is. But kids know it, right?
I think they do.
Cassettes are coming back. You watch Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Google it.
Yeah.
And you got that, and the game was on a tape, and you put that in, and it had a keyboard and a little mouse, right? And it worked off. The science of it was spectacular.
I still don't know how it worked.
To this day, I don't know how you convert audio into an image.
Mm.
That's, through TikTok, probably. That's how we're doing it. So that is gaming. That is a very brief run through gaming.
Yeah.
And then we kind of start getting the Nintendos, then the PlayStation. And then we're like, oh, no, this is not gaming. Like, I was so happy when Nintendo Switch comes back and they bring back, I only play the old Nintendo games on it. The old Super Mario Brothers. Again, claim to fame. Finish Super Mario Brothers 1 on one life.
Wow.
This is what I'm saying.
25.
If they have Contra competition, yeah. Because they got FIFA, they got Call of Duty, they got even Dota. That's a game.
Okay,
yeah.
You say so.
They've got all of those tournaments, and that no Conjure. Put Conjure. There's across from us, no, there's a tattoo, guys doing tattoos. They've got a Pac-Man. They've got a Pac-Man arcade game there.
Huh.
Nice.
So maybe we go. I didn't see any 20 cent coins. So we maybe.
I would have had mine here if I didn't live so far.
And it wasn't quite difficult to get.
Yeah, how do you get that in your car?
With stuff. He's got a van.
Right.
Yeah. A man who drives around Pretoria with a mullet
in a van
with lots of things for kids.
Games.
Okay, kids, come look at my games. So,
I'm quite popular, can I just say.
Do you guys want some video game factoids from the 80s? And
of
we're gonna wrap
we
this
do.
Up yet.
Always.
Because we don't always talk video games, but I felt it's apt for today that we're gonna cover off a lot of video game stuff, right? These are 80s video games facts. We're gonna play a game, two 80s truths and a lie later on. But Dory, you spoke about Pac-Man. We've said these things before, you do know them. Originally, so Pac-Man's Japanese, of course. It was originally called Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Pac-Man. Because he looked like a hockey puck, and he went, paka, 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 paka. That's the noise he makes.
Okay.
Now, you take that into a corner cafe in Savoy.
Yeah.
Noel's here visiting parents or visiting friends, family, or maybe a school trip.
Yeah.
Whatever reason Noel needs to go to Savoy. Him and his miscreant friends go to the corner cafe. Guess what the P turns into?
Yep.
Very quickly. So, good choice. They changed it to...
Kids.
Kids. They're terrible. Terrible.
Can I just say, sorry to interrupt, on that note, you only had three letters. If you had the high score on an arcade game, you only had three letters,
right?
And it
your
counted
game, game
what
attacks.
You wrote your name as with those only those three letters. So you had to write dirty words with only three letters.
We were so creative.
We
so
were creative
so
and
creative.
So juvenile.
I mean, how many people were called ASS, right?
Me.
FCK, you know, DCK. We were super, we were so innovative.
So what were you? PTP?
I actually wasn't PTP back then.
Okay.
That moniker came later on in life.
Yeah.
Super Mario. We know him, we love him. Got him on my bag. He only looks that way because of hardware limitations. So because of the amount of pixels and to make him look like he's moving, they basically gave him a moustache and a big nose. And that's why he looks the way he does.
Fantastic.
That was another thing, right? So you had a brother, Noel. When it came now to play, because you couldn't multiplayer. This is another thing. These kids are playing multiplayer, 10 people playing in a game. You had one game at a time. Then you had to wait for your sibling to die.
Were you the eldest?
I was the eldest.
So you could decide what the rules were.
Exactly. So, Dory, you're an only child. You don't know this,
no,
right?
I don't.
So you're playing, and of course you've got to share lives with your siblings. But like you do your best to, so you go first, obviously. You take the strongest character, obviously. And then you make sure you kill your siblings. In the game. In the game only.
Simulations, am I right?
Again.
Limitation of a simulation.
So that sounds like one of your band t-shirts. Yeah.
It needs to go on a t-shirt.
So Donkey Kong on my t-shirt. Again, a translation, because a lot of the games are developed in Japan and then ported over to the US, right? And Donkey Kong, the name comes from a mistranslation, thought that donkey meant stubborn and Kong meant big ape. So Donkey Kong is literally called stubborn gorilla.
Huh.
That sounds fake.
I don't know.
Super fake.
Funky Kong.
You never know.
Yeah. It does sound like a funky Kong.
I mean, it rolls off the tongue well.
Earlier on, I saw a mini Space Invaders game.
Just like Noel's shirt.
Like Noel's t-shirt.
That's like the very first game ever. Pong.
T-shirts available on Retro 012. Plug. It's called the plug. Smash down below.
Smash that like button, kids.
Talking about coins, the game was so popular, actually caused a shortage of 100 yen coins. So kids would just raid their mother's purses, and the government had to keep making 100 cent coins, 100 yen coins, to keep vending machines running. Because, I mean, of course, you're not just playing games, right? Because in Japan, they love vending machines. You can buy anything in a vending machine there. And they were like, okay, we need coins as kids are invading space. Dory, you watched the movie of this. We spoke about this a while ago. Tetris.
Yeah.
You talk about the original game. Now, that was original, right?
Yeah.
Still to this day, love playing a bit of Tetris.
Oh, yeah. And there's so many new games based on the principles of Tetris.
Yeah. So that, according to the movie that we did watch, very, very, very fake news movie, but Tetris, Noel, was developed as like by the KGB, the Soviet Union, and it had to get smuggled out of Russia, that the guy who made it, only like recently did he actually make the money out of it. He didn't make a cent up until then, because it's not very communist to do that.
Yes.
Do you think that movie that came out is all true?
Because no, I'm sure there's a fair amount of dramatization. But I mean, I think the bones of it are true. You know,
fantastic.
Like the basics.
Mm.
Great movie, I loved it. Mm.
What's
like
his name?
The
Darren Egerton?
Yeah. The Pez Bandit as well. Guys sneaking Pez into the Soviet Union. It's fantastic.
This I do not know about, Paolo. We're going to have to go down this rabbit hole.
Well, yes.
Our parents, the boomers, were quite a thing.
So
wild.
So in this 80s show world, you're walking through a clearing and you find a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And it says the Pez Bandit and Noel's in it. He says, come with me. Come with me. What is the Pez Bandit?
Do enlighten us.
Yes. So Pez was either banned, I think, and I'm spitballing here, it was banned in the Soviet Union, but in Yugoslavia, of one of these East Bloc countries, they had a manufacturer of Pez, but like rare collector's editions. And this guy from America found this out some other way, and he kept on flying to Yugoslavia, whichever country it was, and he snuck in truckloads of these Pez dispensers. But like,
please tell me, to satisfy me, did he like ship them in pairs? Pairs of pairs?
Oh, I wish you could see the look I'm giving Paolo.
Good one,
you know, this is one of the things that I think there is a benefit to doing this visually.
Yes.
Because then
get to see my looks.
Dory's dirty looks. And now people can actually see, they go, oh, Dory, she sounds so lovely. She sounds so sweet. I just go, no, you don't see the death stares.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. And then she follows it up with that little laugh. Like, oh, who, me? Butter wouldn't melt in my mouth. Meantime, daggers Dory over there.
So check it out. Pez Bandit.
Is there a movie about it?
I think it's a Netflix series.
Oh.
But this guy was insane to get these. And he fought the FBI because they thought he was bringing... Oh, he was taking secrets.
Right.
I mean,
CIA,
those little Pez sweets would have looked like drugs.
Yeah, anything looked like drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what?
Except drugs.
What heads were on there? Did they say?
That's like, the thing. The collector's items that he brought in wasn't even available in America. So they had all these collectors and they paid good money for it. And then I think it was like the tax, the revenue service that was on that.
It's always the revenue service. They brought down Al Capone. They get everybody in there.
They get everybody in there.
Pay your taxes.
Yeah.
Pay your taxes, children and creators. Pay them. It'll bring you down.
Cool thing, though. Watch it. You're going to love it.
Okay.
We'll chat about it next time.
All right.
Once you've seen it.
I mean, I'm surprised that because they made a movie about Beanie Babies. They made a movie about friggin' Kellogg's. What was the one with Jerry Seinfeld in it?
Seinfeld.
Oh, this guy.
Name, dude.
No, it's number one. Paolo, please do not swear on the live stream. Save Noel there. Right. No, it was about the cereal. Frosted.
Yeah, it's a new one. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a nightmare. That was horrible.
Yeah,
I
can't.
Saw that.
I have a rule that I do not watch anything from my heroes from the 80s. I do not watch any remakes. I do not. I can't do it.
Good rule.
Yeah. So that brings me very nicely. Noel, you are Segue King. You're a curator supreme. But you're also Segue King as you bring me to heroes, our heroes of the 80s, and one of the heroes on the show. If you don't know, children, a man called C-Dog, Corey Feldman. All right? He was one of two Coreys in the 80s, Corey Feldman, Corey Haim. They were like the guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have guys like we had back then. Because now there's so many subgenres, there's so many different platforms. There's no like one universal.
There's no Brad Pack
culture. That exactly right, and these guys, the two Coreys, were like they weren't Brad Pack adjacent because they were too young.
Yeah.
Right. So the Brad Pack was Rob Lowe and Demi Moore
Tom Cruise,
Emilia. Well, Tom Cruise was adjacent, but let's not get into that.
Okay. That'll
be the whole next hour of the stream.
See Thomas Howell, the man who is a vowel.
So the and an instruction. So the two Coreys, they weren't they in a movie called The Two Coreys? That was the documentary.
Different story.
Note number two, don't talk about those things.
Yeah.
Right. So Corey Feldman was in Goonies. Right, you'll know Goonies. He was in
The Lost Boys.
Both of them.
They were both in. They were in a Babysitter's Club. One of the Babysitter movies.
Possibly.
One of them was.
Where nobody leaves this place without singing the blues.
Okay, so Noel knows. But C-Dog, he's become a very favorite of that 80s show because what we love on that 80s show is people from the 80s who keep themselves relevant, right? They keep themselves in the news. And for whatever reason, we're going to cover it because we got to keep ourselves relevant. We've been keeping the show going for 12 years, longer than the 80s itself. Okay, Stranger Things keeps us going for another 6 months, right? So we'll talk about Stranger Things later. But anyway, now, the CEDAR, it's so funny. So we've got like a production team behind us, right? And every now and again, I'll see them waving. And I think, are they trying to get my attention? They're just trying to stop themselves from passing out. we need a better call sign.
Moist.
So Corey Feldman pleases us no end.
The gift that keeps on giving.
But always, right? A few months ago, when he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. We all know Dancing with the Stars get like kind of like, what's the kind way of saying the caliber of celebrities that go on Dancing with the Stars? Okay, kind, Noel. Yeah, so
C-class celebrity,
right? Okay, so it's kind of like the guys who had their day.
Yesterday's hero.
They're influencers.
I like it.
Yes, yeah, that's a good one. Mm. Or there's someone that your mom kind of had a crush on.
Nostalgia ninnies.
Yeah. Not always, but yes, yeah. Reality show winners. So yeah. It's that category of people. And then they dance together. So they go, right, we need to tick a box. Who do we get? C-Dog. He's up for anything. Now, Corey Feldman's had a troubled past. Like, he had a troubled 80s. And he was a child star. So just, you know, do your own Googling on child stars. It's a whole thing. So he's kind of survives it relatively unscathed. Goes on Dancing with the Stars. Dory and I are over the moon with this. Out within the first week.
No content.
I'm like, well, what are you doing? We backed you for at least a month worth of content, yeah? And you go out in the first week. But being C-Dog, he is a content machine.
Yes.
The C stands for content, right? And allegations start popping up of he wasn't exactly the best contestant, right?
I would never say that.
You wouldn't think that. Very professional. He's
very easygoing.
If you don't know what C-Dog looks like, he's a Michael Jackson impersonator. He dances like Michael Jackson and dresses like him.
Yep.
The irony of that, kids, is go Google it.
Yes, go Google that. The irony is in itself. You see, we're telling you to Google a lot because we got strict instructions here. Strict instructions.
Family friendly.
What we can say.
Ask Jeeves.
So, wow. That's a throwback. That is a throwback. So, the first bit of allegations comes out is that he wasn't the most professional. Now, C-Dog can dance. We've seen him dance. We may not like the type of dance, but he can dance. He knows how to dance, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he misses the rehearsals because they're not doing his dance and they're doing the cha-cha and the tango and the foxtrot and those things, right? So he's missing rehearsals. And the allegations start. And he's saying, I never missed rehearsals. This is nonsense. His professional partner in Dancing with the Stars, his brother, her brother, like starts, it develops a bit of a war between them. So now Dancing with the Stars, I think, is coming to the last few. They're about to announce the winner. C-Dog has come out to defend himself, calls out the Dancing with the Stars toxic behind-the-scenes culture, saying, I have never seen anything like it.
Never.
Isn't that his whole life, though?
He was at Hollywood parties as a teenager. 80s Hollywood parties
and
as a teenager.
And he's never seen anything like it.
Never seen anything like it.
Wow.
Now,
it must be something else.
No drama there.
He says the behind-the-scenes drama. So let's go to some quotes. There was a lot of stupidity in the mudslinging that went on behind the scenes.
Of which he was a part of.
Actually, everything was great. while on set, but behind the scenes drama and BS that people throw around the show, I've never seen anything like it. It's the worst, like most toxic. He said that because he's 80s. He had to say that.
No, so cap fan.
He was paired with Jenna Johnson. She's the professional dancer. Her brother has been firing shots. They did the cha-cha to Baby's Got Back. Mm-hmm. Can you get more 80s in that? So mix a lot. On the set, everybody gets along, Feldman carried on. Everybody's great. Everybody's happy. You're working hard. You don't even have time to look up. You're just working. Sea Dog.
Mm, wow.
Professional. That's the work ethic of a child actor, right? Mm. You know, no laws against child actors back in the 80s. He knows how to work. But he gets eliminated, and then he starts saying, I was having a really difficult time with my dance partner. And he says, you start reading these things in the paper, like this person's mad at this person. These people aren't talking to each other. Are these people working hard enough? And claim that I destroyed the show.
Ooh.
He destroyed the whole show because he is such an egomaniac. It's so difficult to work with. Now, these allegations come from his dance partner's brother. And he says, oh, it's just Max, don't pay attention. But he's saying, I'm over it. I just want to be positive. I just want to be friends with everyone associated with the show. It was not me. So loved our time on Dancing with the Stars. Corey Feldman, once again, the victim. Dory, your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I mean, I believe him. I do. I believe him.
Okay.
I think that chances are he was hard done by.
So you're a Corey apologist, a Sea Dog apologist. We try to have a balanced view on that 80s show about Sea Dog, right? We're going to bring you the story, and then we're going to bring you the Corey, and then Dory's going to comment on the Corey story. Okay, Noel's not going to worry about that. So Dory is Team Corey. Noel?
No, I don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth.
Okay, will you believe this? So a little while ago, naturally you can imagine a guy like this, difficult to dance with, maybe a little bit difficult to live with. And he's going through a divorce. We find this out. Now, how do we know about this? Because the court proceedings exposed his laundry bills. They were ridiculously high.
Yeah. Dude.
He was blowing money left, right, and center. Now, I can imagine 80s residuals are good, but they're 40 years worth of residuals. I mean, are we still living off that?
Well, we're still talking about him. So
maybe every time we say Corey, 1 cent.
Yes.
He gets 1 cent. Maybe we don't know this.
You know, exponential growth.
Could be that. Did he invest well?
Did he?
Does he strike you as a man who invests well? This is not for us to comment on. This is just for us to plant the thoughts for you to fill in the gaps. Now, the court proceedings between him and his estranged wife are getting quite ugly. Because, Noel, what a tough week for Corey Feldman. Not only is he defending himself from Dancing with the Stars controversy, his ex-wife is also going at him. Fires shots at Corey. He needs a Dory protective blanket. I'll survive, he says, in this story. Okay. So he writes on XP people, PPL, people, people. Grown man writes people. 54-year-old man writes.
Hey, there's limited characters.
On X, not anymore. There's limited character on the people who run it, but not limited characters on X. You can write people. Grow up. Okay? Ironically, the story comes from people. People have been wondering what pain I'm experiencing. Well, pain isn't always physical. Oh. Many times emotional and mental pain can be. The letter B.
Yeah.
54-year-old man.
Mike doesn't so have much time. He's a busy man.
So much more real.
I suppose. Because it's a... Yeah, I don't have time for words and letters.
Nobody has time for vowels, okay?
I suppose. Listen, the irony of Noel and I criticizing a grown man for his, like, elocution while we're sitting here in retro T-shirts that not one person here will get.
That's our thing, man. We criticize everything. It's in our generation.
Grumpy Gen Xs. That's it.
Many times emotional and mental pain can be even more overwhelming than physical pain. I have many things happening that are. No, I'm really bothered about it.
R, is it just an R?
Just the R. Guys. Okay, anyway, let me get to the point of the story. That are painful, I'll survive, right? So what? Oh, but he carries on. You think I enjoy these articles coming out. You are sadly mistaken. People don't get the reality of my life. Yeah.
Is he still a child star?
Maybe a letter's broken. Maybe like he dropped his phone and that part of the screen. I don't know. That's not to comment. That's so not the point of the story. That's not the point of the story. So his estranged wife, her name is Courtney Feldman. Okay. It doesn't have her maiden name in this. They met in 2016. They split in 2023. They have yet to settle. She was working as an actor and a barista and part-time at Goodwill. He started paying her on the first split $2,000 a month in support, and it was increased to $3,500 a month in November 2024, right? She now believes, because he's got this windfall coming from Dancing with the Stars, where you can earn between $125,000 and $300,000, she's like, no, that needs to be up to at least $7,000, your monthly support, okay?
She didn't count on him being kicked out in the first episode.
I think you get it anyway, because how can you be responsible for that, right?
Because
you're still doing the work. Maybe that's maybe that's the lower end.
But I'm sure
you're getting an appearance and then there's prize money and stuff like that.
Why would you practice if you just get the money?
If you're not doing it. Listen, you guys want to hear some of the money Corey Feldman's got going on? So 2025, he had a gross income of $21,000. And before that, he was earning $19,000 a month. Like, I'm doing the maths in my head. What's he earning? The residuals. That's where we're talking Goonies.
So every time you
hire Goonies, that's not bad. That's not bad. So now she says, listen, I want that Dancing with the Stars money. Maybe this is why he got knocked out.
Ooh.
Because he doesn't want to pay. He doesn't want to pay the money.
I think you have uncovered a conspiracy here, Paolo. Mm.
When they got divorced, they had over $80,000 sitting in their joint account. Courtney Feldman wants that money.
That's not a huge amount of money.
You'd think $80,000, what are we talking about? It's a fair bit. It's over R1 million.
Yeah, but
in their account.
Okay, fair enough.
For a barista, listen, love a barista.
Yeah.
I would not get through 9 out of 10 days without a barista. We need them. They're doing God's work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay? So I'm not like dumping on a barista.
Yeah.
But I'm saying to have over $1 million in a joint bank account for a barista.
I suppose a barista and a has-been.
You know, that's not bad. That's a lot more than me, and I'm.
Of course.
That'll keep me
in a lot.
What
does that make us?
Don't. Yeah. Like any commentator on social media, let us make fun of people way more successful and popular than we will ever, ever be. So,
he is a character.
So she just wants all his money, basically.
That's basically it. She basically wants all that sweet sea dog dollars.
Do you think that was why she married him in the first place?
Yeah.
Of course. Yes, Dory.
No, but he might have nice qualities that we are unaware of.
She's way younger than him. So it's not even like she's fangirling Corey Feldman, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't know him.
She didn't have the crush on him for Lost Boys, eh?
No, he was the weird little kid in Goonies. She's not into that, right?
Okay.
But
who did you prefer, by the way?
Oh, Feldman. I was a Feldman girl.
Okay.
Yeah. Corey Haim was far too wholesome.
But yet he's the one that ended his life. So,
I know.
Listen, you got to give Sea Dog that.
They both did the drugs.
You got to give Sea Dog that. So many of his contemporaries, like somehow he's managed to identify when he needs to, like, go get help.
Yeah.
So you got to give him that. Listen, we do like having a laugh at Sea Dog, but it's a very, like, an affectionate laugh.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's like, oh, shame. Silly Corey, look what he's done again. One of the things I love doing on that 80 show is going back and finding people who their first start, right? So, like, we always know everyone's big break, right? And I love it when I find somebody's big break. Somebody's like big now, got really big in the 90s, but like some lost thing from the 80s that they really wish disappeared.
Yep.
And I thought I uncovered most of them. But there is no depth to the rabbit holes I go down.
Debauchery. 80s debauchery.
They're bottomless.
I border on that part of the internet you're not supposed to go to.
The grey web.
You know, just like right there. Right there. I'm just like on... I'll put my toe... Like, I'm on... I can see it. I can like see it, but I don't go there.
You don't stick your finger in.
Like sometimes, so like just touch. Like you know what?
Just the tip, eh?
You know what it's like. Rule number three: avoid saying things like that. Do you know what it's kind of like? You know when you go into some, you go to somebody's house and you go to the bathroom, you're going to wash your hands, right? And they've got those lovely soaps that they put out for when guests come.
Mm-hmm.
And they like fruits or whatever.
Fancy
and,
soap.
And you're smelling the soap, you're like, this smells really good.
You're going to bite
it. I wonder what it tastes like. And you just like a little bit, and it tastes like soap.
Of course it does.
How do they do that? It smells so delicious, but it tastes like soap. It doesn't even taste a little bit like that thing.
Mm.
And I never learned my lesson. So that's kind of me with these edges of the internet. Just like enough to go lick it. Yeah. And then I go, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. And then I don't learn my lesson. I go do it again. Right. Okay. So on these edges of the internet, I find Hollywood stars with their first appearance and stuff. And they're normally in the weirdest 3 or 4 run sitcom you've ever come across in your life, right?
Yeah.
So
guest appearance.
Let's start off by a sitcom called Second Chance.
Okay.
You never heard of this?
Don't think so. Who's in it?
So
Corey Feldman, obviously. Story of his life.
It stars one of the friends. One of the friend's actors.
That would be Joey.
So he did make an appearance in Married with Children. That was kind of his 80s appearance. Courtney Cox was in a sitcom herself. She was in Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren.
And Bruce Springsteen's
She
video.
Was Bruce Springsteen's video. So we know where she was.
That must be Matthew Perry.
Correct. Matthew Perry's first sitcom called Second Chance. Now, let me tell you about this weird story. I was just about to swear then, but I'm good, guys.
Well done.
It's called Growing. Growing up. In Second
Chance.
Look
at us all grown up.
Hey, look, let's take a moment. Like, hey, well done to us for being grown. So the main character, Charles Russell, who dies in a hovercraft accident. Okay? Charles Russell. The opening scene is him arriving in this very like school play looking set of like not heaven, not hell. The in between. Right? Purgatory.
Four ways.
Yes, forwards, you stinkhole of a place. Give me Benoni any day. And so this dude arrives in the hovercraft, dying, and he goes to St. Peter, and St. Peter says, listen, you're too good to go down, but you're not quite good enough for here, so I'm sending you back to 1987 to go live with your teenage self.
What?
Right?
I want that.
Do you?
That would be awesome.
Okay. Yeah. So I didn't think about that, but let's talk about this. So you guys were teenagers in the 80s.
I was a teenager.
87.
I was 13.
Okay, I was 7.
Yeah.
87.
Okay. So the premise of this is he arrives back in Earth, but now he's with his teenage self. So it never explains, because assuming...
Hang on, how old is he?
When he passes away, he's in his 50s.
Okay.
So we're assuming that like when he passed away is now, but they
okay.
never really address that.
Right.
Okay. So he must have passed away like now, 20s, right?
Right.
To go back to when he was a teenager, 2030s. So now, I wish we could show, I could switch around and show you guys a video, but we'll post this up on that 80 Show SA Facebook page, the clip of the entrance. Because once you see the entrance, you guys will go, I have seen that. So when he arrives in his like 80s place, it's that typical looking sitcom set. You know, with the door and then the little steps that go down.
Mm-hmm.
But there's...
Steps on the right-hand side going up.
Perfect. But there's a magical door in this instance. A magical glittery door from this heaven's gate that he now arrives in.
Okay.
So the premise is that he's now a neighbor or something that now has to live in the house. 80s stuff. Don't worry about how we
You're
get
a neighbor,
about the details.
Harry.
Right. And now he lives with himself as a teenager to teach him life lessons. Discuss.
I mean, it's got the time travel paradox in it, because if he goes back and changes anything, what's going to happen? And he will change something, logically. Isn't that the point of it?
So it doesn't go into that level of Back to the Future lore.
I know, I'm
right?
just saying
80s.
It does have it.
By the way, on the table, there is a Back to the Future cap, and Noel has got 2 Back to the Future cars there. You may see it on the camera looking at me, I think, right? It's, of course, the DeLorean, but for a nice touch, it's Biff's car from the 1950s covered in manure, right?
Nice.
Available, retro.
I want to.
That's it, that's it, right? Accept Bitcoin, cryptos? No?
I'll accept anything.
Okay, right. So they don't go into time travel lore like that because he's not traveling in time. He's been sent from heaven.
Right.
So nothing he does.
Okay.
But
it will.
It is. So if he teaches himself, but although, like, he died in a hovercraft accident. So now we're saying make better choices.
Then you might not die.
Then that day you might be in a different situation. You don't go on. You won't be a douchebag.
I won't question it too much. I like the idea, actually. I like it.
No one did.
Really?
It got cancelled. They kind of went, you know, this plot is stupid. So with it, he's got two Matthew Perry's character and this, you know, Guy from Heaven character. Got two brothers. And
who plays the Guy from Heaven? Do you know? Is there anyone important?
It was somebody important, but somebody from like 50 sitcoms.
Okay.
So sometimes this stuff kind of happens, right? So like, you know, like how annoyingly we are with our kids. You're watching a sitcom. You go, hey, the guy playing the dad is like, was... Belinda Carlisle or in Riverdale, who plays Archie's mom, Archie's parents, it was like Luke Perry
And Molly Ringwald,
and we're going, oh, I love them, and kids are like, who cares? Back in the 80s, it'd be some random person from a 50s sitcom that your parents go, oh, that's so and so from the Skitkus, or some equally translated show from and we're like, I don't know. Okay, so it was that. So some guy that like you does that mean something? Did I Did I just swear? Okay.
No, we just made it the word, and that's fantastic.
But that was kind of like a thing, because you know, back in the '80s, for those of you on the stream who don't know, every 2 days, all the shows were in Afrikaans.
Yeah.
Right? Everything, and they translated a lot of TV
shows.
They dubbed
a lot.
And Miami.
The start in Miami.
You know, and then there would always be something like Skitkus, and then in English it'd be called like Tron. Or something.
But you always had to fill in because Afrikaans has got a lot more words. So you kind of had to fill in the mouth. So you would say something random like, kom hier.
Yeah.
We had Die Man van Staal, which was the Million Dollar Man.
Exactly.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. Yes. And like literally the Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And I don't think he had any steel. I think he was like all aluminium. I don't know. Steel shortage back in the 80s. Okay. So... people didn't like this. They thought this sitcom is really stupid. That Matthew Perry guy, who cares about him? He's going to be nobody. He's going nowhere. And they retooled the show to be about the shenanigans of the three brothers. And then it just evolved. So basically all the heaven stuff disappeared after a few episodes. And now it's just about the brothers. You're going, but where's the heaven guy?
Why is it called Second Chance?
Why is it? No, they changed the name to... it's really stupid. Boys Will Be Boys. Boys Will Be Boys. Okay, so it didn't last and they canned it. So that was one, Second Chance.
Okay.
Another one. Now, Second Chance I'd seen. This one called Duck Factory. Right?
Okay.
So it's...
we were raised by wolves.
Really? And Vili Vali. So on Duck Factory, it's an animator, right? He wants to draw cartoons. And he finds the only animation studio in town that'll hire him. But the place is an absolute dog show. It's basically closing down, right? It's never going to last. Basically like Dorian and I's first job that we met. Like, we've got to say this, right? So you might know the radio station 702 now is this absolute behemoth. When Dorian and I were working there, when they interviewed me for the job, they said, like, enjoy it because it's probably not going to be around for much longer. Like, that's what they said to me. This is like late 2002. They said it would be very surprising.
I was listening to you guys then in those days. My Golf could only pick up AM radio.
Except when you drove under a tree or near like anything metal.
In reverse.
Yeah. So that's not abnormal. Like, you go, okay, well, the only place going to hire me is the place going out of business, but I'm 22 years old. Who cares? So this is the premise of Duck Factory. And he is actually the only place. Oh, there goes another fan, but far away from us. The only place that will hire him, and the place is a mess. So he's the straight guy in this workplace comedy, right?
Right.
So it doesn't last.
Who is he? Do we know him?
I will tell you now. It's a little bit meta because obviously they're making a cartoon, and they got all the different people who would work like in an animation studio, including the guys who do voices. And in a meta moment, the guy who does the voice of Scooby-Doo, he's one of the voice actors playing a voice actor who voices a very grumpy dog.
Okay.
In it. Quite a meta moment. Yeah. So this main guy of the Duck Factory, character's name Skip Tarkenton.
Okay.
Right? Workplace comedy. He's the straight-laced guy played by none other than Jim Carrey.
What?
Right? This is before In Living Color.
Huh.
This is before Earth Girls Are Easy. This is before First Bite. And this is, of course, before Jim Carrey that
I've
we know.
I've seen photos of him with his blazer and his
that's
so young, so handsome.
That's what it's from. And he plays it straight. He completely doesn't gurn, never
that
does
must anything. Have been the most difficult thing ever for him.
Completely. But of course, listen, if you watch old clips of it, you can see, like, it's the thing with it. You can always see they're going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to be it. And so Jim Carrey has that, again, didn't last, but that was his first sitcom. The next one. I started out by discovering whose first sitcom it was, but then found the most fascinating thing that, Dory, you're not going to kick ourselves for not knowing this.
Okay.
It's a show called Living Dolls, right?
Okay.
Set in New York in a modeling agency.
Oh,
now,
I think I might have seen that.
Right. So the claim to fame, it's about a bunch of models living in an apartment together.
Right.
Modeling shenanigans. Starring Leah Remini.
Okay.
From King of Queens, we know her.
Yeah.
But also the first role for Halle Berry.
Okay.
Okay, so again, Halle Berry, fantastic, cool show set in New York. It's a spin-off. That part's fine. Not as interesting. It's a spin-off of Who's the Boss?
What?
Did you even know Who's the Boss had a spin-off called Not the Alyssa Milano Show for Pilot and Miscreant Boys?
So Alyssa Milano's in it.
So the story goes, Leah Remini's character is a friend of Sam, Alyssa Milano's character.
Right.
And this, it now comes towards at the end of Who's the Boss, Alyssa Milano. Sam, I always get it wrong. Sam Michelli. Anyway, Alyssa Milano's character is going off to college. Her friend wants to be a model, goes to New York. Angela's friend, this is how they bring Angela into it, is the owner of this modeling agency, right? So that's the link. And she goes off to New York, says, no, go, my friend's got this modeling agency. So that's Leah Remini goes off. The first episode of Living Dolls was this crossover episode of like a doubleheader of Who's the Boss back ended into the first episode of Living Dolls, where you have Tony Danza pops up. So all the characters from Who's the Boss pop up in this first episode.
Like a handover kind
like
of
a,
thing.
They used to do that a lot
like
in
a
the
80s. Thing,
it's kind of like I think now what kids do on social media where you get one big YouTuber or TikToker into yours and everyone like, or they box.
Yeah.
They box each other. That's what they do now. Celebrities box each other. YouTubers, creators box each other. So that is...
That is fantastic, though.
I was like, when I found that... So this is the thing. We haven't done a show for weeks. I'm actually glad we didn't, so I could save this for the threes of people watching on the stream and share it with you.
Did we get that show here? Because why is it familiar to me?
That's
did
what
it,
I'm saying.
Did it show on
when,
SABC3?
When you watch... Because we bought things back then. SABC bought things in batches, right?
Yeah.
So they just
I have a feeling this might have been on.
They did it, yeah. And the show... Yeah. The show... When you see it... So it looks like Who's the Boss.
Right.
Shot very much the same way. Not terrible, but when you see it, you know it. You know what I mean? And like, if you're going to watch any episode, watch the one with Alyssa Milano.
But that's why I don't
there's
think
there's only
it
one
here.
With Alyssa Milano.
That's,
no,
why
that's
I only
probably
watch,
why.
I only watch one.
Because if she wasn't something, I would have known about it.
Mm.
So are we?
So
not,
would Paula.
So are we not going to go off on a tangent now and leave Dory completely isolated while we fanboy over Alyssa Milano? Crush from 1 to 10.
11.
That's what I'm saying.
That's all. She's still gorgeous.
Look, she started. She's like, she's. You know what? I think once you hit your 50s, you just start saying what you want. And she's definitely in that phase. Because she's kind of like, listen, I'm not getting the jobs anymore. I'm not going to degrade myself to get jobs. So I'm just going to say what I want to say. Right?
But that's the perk of being 50.
Right?
Do what you want.
You guys
exactly.
tell me this. You guys tell me this.
Yeah, you'll get there.
Okay.
You'll get there.
So listen, saying what I want and not really caring is like the perk of being me. So
he's way ahead of us.
Yeah. So there's
always old for his age.
So
mature.
We're going back to the 80s. some sitcoms, TV viewing, stars, things that people did that they should have known better, which is normally at the part of the show where we do some movie recommendations, right? So
right.
We find movies from the 1980s. Kids, if you want that 80s show essay, we don't do video. We don't do video. No. We're very old school in our podcast style. We only do audio.
This is an anomaly.
This is an anomaly. But I like it because we can show the merch.
Yeah.
Show the merch, have t-shirts, things like that. So I do like that portion of it.
It's nice to put a face with a voice, though.
It's
usually disappointing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
If you hear someone over the radio for like 100 years and you see them for the first time, there's no way that's his voice or that's his face.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do a movie recommendation and we've done all the biggies, right? So going back, you're doing all the big 80s movies you want to think. Beverly Hills Cop, St. Elmo's Fire, Superman, E.T. I'm just looking around at all the videos to remind me. So we do all the big ones, right? But then, of course, I've got to go to the niche ones. So I always find the worst movie that I can find, but I'm very curated in it, mm-hmm. right, Noel? I mean, you can testify to this. Mm-hmm. I don't just go for B-grade, right?
Correct.
What am I going for? Tell the people.
You are going for something so bad that it's actually good.
Yeah.
Famous people who started out, wonderfully bad movie.
It's kind of like the theme of the segment before we were going through sitcoms, like, please remove that from my IMDb. Mm. I do not want that on my Wikipedia. Not because of being cancelled or was inappropriate. Mm. It was just so bad, right? And then they normally involve like a lot of behind-the-scenes shenanigans, which I love. But there is even a limit for me. So what I wanted to do to kind of like bookend the year for a little bit is to actually tell you guys about the movie so bad, not even I could find a redeeming factor in there.
Did you finish watching them?
No. They all are on, you know, when you like look at your playlist and it's got the little red bar, the little, like they're all like with a 3/4.
Looks like my diary.
Do you journal? Are you one of the, do you journal? I wake up in the morning and I journal.
Mm-mm.
Don't journal.
I just remember everything.
Yeah, no, I'm saying. I don't. Sorry. Remembering, no, this is not a...
Who are you?
This is not a thing, yeah. So, I need to tell you guys about some movies that I was like, not even I can redeem these, right?
I'm so curious.
Okay. The first...
Try them.
I don't know. I can't even... There's not even a funny clip. Nobody died on set. There's no oddities.
Was this all on Plex?
No, from around the place.
Okay.
What I also, and none of these are B grade, right?
Okay.
So like we go back in the 80s, like Noel, I noticed. So tell me, when you go collect these videos, right? Of course you only bring out the ones we know, the big names, right? How often or how many of those 5,000 videos are the bottom of the shelf?
How many do we have here? Like 10?
Yeah. Because these are
4,990?
Right. Because that was
the only good ones.
Because they made movies of everything
and
in the 80s. Everything. Any idea, any concept, just a guy with a camera.
And normally like based on something that was successful. So RoboCop.
Mm.
By the way, do you see RoboCop got a statue in Detroit?
What?
There's a RoboCop statue. The mayor put it up and everything.
Do you know that we have a Nas Buerta statue in Pretoria?
I was foolishly going to ask where, but of course... Where in Pretoria?
At Loftus Versfeld.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Kids, Google Nas Buerta.
Yeah. So this RoboCop, because you got the Rocky Balboa statue in Philadelphia at the top of the stairs that he runs up. So, yeah, RoboCop. But if you had RoboCop that goes popular, people want a show with robots or a movie with robots that are cops.
Yeah.
Let's make Police Machine. Right? Do you have Police Machine? And how many are Police Machine? Right? Mechanical Squad. Mechanocop. Right? So you had those. These aren't even those. These are movies that legitimately people wanted to be good.
Oh.
Okay?
Like standalone.
Seriously. Serious movies.
I blame myself for this one. A movie from 1986 called 52 Pickup, starring Roy Schneider and Margaret and John Glover. Ring any bells?
Yes, it does.
Right?
Yes. No.
So IMDb says, a secret fling threatens to destroy a wealthy man's life when he's blackmailed by a group of sleazy criminals. Okay. Could be good.
Yeah.
So why...
It could have been any movie, though.
It could have been any absolute movie.
Yeah.
So I go, okay, let me see this thing. It's a guy, blackmail, scandal. Maybe there's some... Listen, there was a lot of, like, the age ranking in the 80s, not... No. Like, not that age gated. A lot of stuff slipped through. So I kind of go, okay, let me try watch it. Maybe there's something to it. No. Just... So even talking about it is boring. Like, even... If when I put this out as our podcast and our feed, I'm deleting this. This is the thing this, because it's so boring. I can't even bore you with it.
Apart from what Roy Schneider.
Yes, and Margaret, they're not bad. They're big actors.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm starting to
smell. Was it a flop?
Yes, of course.
Is that
it was.
Aspirin?
I'm starting to smell popcorn. So other okay, so you smoke.
We're all having a stroke.
So it's
okay.
Yeah, so
we're
it's not a stroke.
Smell burnt toast.
It could be us. Something's gonna go up in flames. So you know, this could be a very interesting TikTok. The next one
they
is,
will buy this footage off us,
right? And take it to that part of the internet that just.
But that used to be rotten.com.
I remember that one. Mm-hmm. Early days of the internet. It's still there's this one site like archives old websites, so you can go find all those old websites. Don't.
Do not, children, do not.
I spend
so
a lot of
Java.
Time on that.
Do not go and look for 4chan. Do not.
You know, as much as we love retro stuff, I cannot handle 90s internet.
No, it was the worst.
It's terrible.
It was
it's
horrendous.
Just the amount of visual and
the amount of Comic Sans and Pink.
Although pop-up websites are starting to get... I think people are going to say the same about this stage of the internet. There was just too many things on it.
Yeah.
There's too much going on. Mm. Another movie that I started watching was called Choose Me, with someone called Genevieve Bujold, Leslie Ann Warren, you'll know that name.
Yes.
And Keith Carradine.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
IMDb says, as a romantic drifter who complicates the lives... of three people in a Los Angeles bar.
Three people.
So
does the whole movie take place in the bar?
So it does. It happens in one night.
Oh,
so
it's based on a play.
I love things like that.
Yeah.
Oh my word. So many feelings. So many monologues. The first 5 minutes, three monologues at the same time. So that one, do not ever watch Choose Me.
Okay.
Now, those I should have known better because they're about emotions.
Yeah, they're not your style. They're more my thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd like them.
A movie that's about emotions, feelings, I'm not into it. This one, though, had a bit of a Blue Lagoon-ish thing going for it. Definitely, like, tapping into it. Not the Blue Lagoon, the Emerald Forest.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay. Now... No famous names, but a fantastic name, starring Powers Booth.
Ah, okay, I know Powers Booth.
What?
I've heard of Powers Booth.
Okay, I can't expect you out of nowhere to like say what he is. But legitimately, Powers Booth, not an adult film star. Like,
no.
Legit, not like Max Power.
No.
Powers Booth.
Yes, I know the name. I can't tell you from where, but I know the name.
And he was in Real Things, not on the part of the internet
I'm
I
sure
spoke about.
I'm sure he was in many made-for-TV things.
Wow, really?
Yes.
I didn't even recognize it. Love the name. So, he's a researcher. They go to the Amazon. Sun goes missing. The sun goes missing. The sun looks a lot like the Blue Lagoon little boy. Christopher, what's his name?
Yeah.
Right? So he goes missing. And now it becomes the father's mission to now find his son. He eventually finds his son has been adopted by Amazonian tribe. So it's getting very cringy, very 80s. Again, you got to put a context trigger warning. And he's now raised by an Amazonian tribe. So far, I'm going, oh, yes.
How old was the son?
So the son went missing as like a little boy, finds him as a teenager-ish, 19
so
or so.
It's Jungle Book, basically.
Tarzan, Jungle Book, Blue Lagoon in a.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm going, there's got to be something.
Yeah.
I mean, even the tribes people, the indigenous tribes. No, none of that. It's like, I'm not a fan of National Geographic. Fans of National Geographic?
I don't know.
A little bit slow, a little bit. Yeah. It's wants to be National Geographic. So much promise. The Emerald
like
Forest.
A documentary.
Really? This one I should have loved.
Okay.
This one I should have loved. Up the Creek.
Now, heard of it.
Up the Creek had one of those painted video covers.
Movie posters, yeah.
Described as a mix of Porky's and Revenge of the Nerds.
This sounds familiar as well.
So familiar.
Involving a paddle race, a canoe race.
Right.
I'm like, I am into this. I am into this, right?
Yeah.
It includes a drunken dog.
Okay.
There was, people found that very funny in the 80s. Yeah. Like, now
for
that
some
I think,
other reason.
I'm like, what a horrible thing.
Strangely enough, that's not the first or the last drunk dog in a movie in the 80s.
No, not at all. There was that one with Rick Moranis where the dog actually got superpowers from drinking the beer. It became a super dog.
Yeah.
But listen,
like me,
our relationship with dog, my superpower is like the reverse of Flash. I get super slow.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll like dodge a bullet, but like 3 days later.
Bullet time.
Listen, our relationship with dogs in the 80s was very different, right? You're just like, your dog wouldn't have a name. Blackie, Snowy, Spotty,
dog.
Dog. Sometimes your dog just wouldn't, you'd just have a dog, and then you just wouldn't have a dog.
Now, your dad, where did this dog come
from? Yeah. People would come to your house and go, I really like your dog. They'd leave with the dog. So our relationship with dogs is very different in the 80s. And evidently, we found it very funny to make them drunk in movies. There's even a monkey with a rocket launcher in this movie. Wow. You're going, Palu, AI wrote that movie for you.
Yeah.
You said, here is my friend, Palu.
Yeah.
Here's what he likes. Write a thing about him. Write a movie for him.
Yeah. Totally.
Horrible.
Really? Who's in it?
Tim Matheson.
Huh.
He was in Northern Exposure, or one of those, or Fargo, and Stephen First. They were in something really big together. I think they both could have been in Porky's together. I've got a funny feeling. So they're in this thing, and I'm going, why don't I like this movie? It's so bad. Not even a monkey with a rocket launcher could save it for me. Okay?
Wow.
Knight of the Juggler.
Knight of the Juggler.
Starring James Brolin.
Oh, my God.
Why? That's not the response I expected.
No, it sounds like a terrible movie. I don't know why he was in it, but it sounds like a horrendous.
Now, James Brolin, of course, father of Josh Brolin, Thanos. What was his character in Goonies?
Yeah, he was the old thing.
He was
Knight
in Thrashen.
Of the Jugglers could have just as well been another name for Porky.
You know, so that's what I thought. So it's actually a movie where when crime-ridden 90s, there's a high five. An unsolicited high five. I'm not into it. I do not solicit high fives that do not involve me. So, New York 80s, notoriously crime-ridden Joburg, right? And this ex-cop, his daughter gets kidnapped by some criminal gang. And it's now he's got like, it's shot in real time. The clock is against him to get his daughter back, right? So it's James Brolin, so hairy.
He was a very hairy man. I remember that.
I'm telling you, so it was shot in the 80s. So it came out, shot in the 70s. So it's got that very 80s, 70s look, aesthetic. He's got so much beard. Like, imagine, in your mind's eye, imagine a lot of beard. Now double it.
Yeah.
Now dip him in some more hair. That's how much, he looks like a BG and a Labubu. Like, that's what's happening here, right? So sweaty by the end of the movie. Like us. Like, we're going to... I've lost 5 kilos. I'm not even going to... I do not want to be sitting in these seats after us. I'm going to tell you that, okay? No juggling in this movie. It is so humorous.
No juggling. What?
It is... He's got so much hair, you can't even see his expressions. Because I imagine...
He's got big, bushy eyebrows.
He's trying to look distressed. It looks like a Sesame Street is on his eyebrows. He's trying to look distressed. I think he could look distressed. No.
That's playing it safe, though. That's working smart, not hard.
So you think so? So I'm going to take
the
paycheck.
What's the movie about if it's not about juggling?
He's got to get his daughter. Clock's against him. He's got to run through New York.
He's juggling traffic.
He's juggling traffic. juggling thing.
Is it like a real-time type thing? Like it's kind of.
That's why I kind of like that. You know what I mean?
That sounds pretty cool.
It does sound pretty cool.
Yeah, no, not.
Really bad, eh?
Look.
Do you think if you'd had less hair, you would have liked it?
Yes.
I would have understood what it's going on. You can't even jeer him. There's so much hair. Like, it's just you know, it's like no one knows what's going on.
He's just a giant beard.
Basically. And not even the fun kind. not even the fun kind. If you're going to watch a Brolin-related movie, I'd say to you, Josh Brolin in Thrasher.
Okay.
You know, he can be Thanos all he wants.
Watch the series Hotel. He's great in that.
No, yeah, but he's not Thrasher.
James Brolin.
Josh. Oh, James Brolin. Yeah, James Brolin. I've moved. So
yeah,
so you're completely...
I'm still on James.
You're over-Brolining me.
Still Alyssa Milano for me.
Okay, so we're still there. Mm-hmm. So, Thrashing, you weren't a skateboarder? Were you a skateboarder?
I tried, but I do not like getting hurt. That's why I didn't play rugby. That's why I didn't play any contact sport.
Okay.
I don't like getting hurt.
All right. Okay, anyway, listen. Recommendation there, Thrashing.
Okay.
And then I'm going to end on one that, Dory, I think you might want to watch.
Okay.
It's got redeeming things. It could be really good. I got a feeling we've spoken about it.
Okay.
Starring Richard E. Grant and Paul McGann. Richard E. Grant's first movie, With Nell and I.
Okay, hang on a second. You couldn't get through With Nell and I. With Nell and I is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Do you see this?
I have spoken about it on the show. I have highly recommended it. Paolo, what is happening here?
What?
Help me, Noel. Have you watched With Nell and I?
Those of you watching on the stream, which I actually just realized, no matter how many people are watching, we have more viewers than MTV have right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Too soon.
I think they killed MTV this week, so we literally have more viewers.
That's a cool reference for the future.
Yeah.
That we know exactly where we are.
Put it in the show notes.
Right?
Let's put it in the show notes.
So what happened there is called, I mean, that is, no, that is premier hosting. Because what I did is I gave content, but I knew to keep to the end the discussion point that is going to trigger my co-host into an argument. Right?
So he knew exactly what he was doing.
That's a masterclass. So with Nell and I, because I know you recommended it, and I thought, okay, let me give it a try.
Oh, and you couldn't watch it.
So what it's about, it's two unemployed actors, right? And so they're kind of playing to type because they were not well-known actors at the time.
No.
And they go, no, we need to take a break. This acting thing is too hard.
You missed the part where they are complete alcoholics.
I was getting to that. So they're completely trash and they go to their uncle's country house and shenanigans ensue. So I'm going.
We went on holiday by mistake.
So I'm going. Drunken shenanigans, general shenanigans, British humor, what's not to like? I did not like. But Dory's going to defend it.
I will not defend it because if you don't like it, then that's fine. That's your taste. Those who know, know. Those who don't, don't.
Again, I think the running theme here is that I'm the problem, though.
Of course.
As
no, no.
You say that
no.
As if it's new. It's new.
As the conversation with my wife on the way over here, I begrudgingly had to admit.
To be fair, it's not a movie for everyone. And to be fair, the first time I watched it, I was like, what the hell is this? But by the end of it, I was like, okay, that was really great. But I did struggle through it the first time, probably. Okay. I've watched it about 3 times in total. And because I know how great it actually is, you enjoy it. I don't know. This is a very Marmite movie. You either love it or hate it.
So I think my error here in all my movies is they're all emotional.
I mean, With Nell and I is kind of emotional, but it's really just funny. It is funny.
So, Noel, should I give it another chance?
I want Noel to try it and come back to me. But
okay,
stick with it.
Fair enough.
Because it does take a little while to get going.
3 viewings, though.
Three viewings. That is dedication.
I mean, I'm watching.
You tried 3 times to watch it?
No. You said on 3 viewings.
No. I loved it by the end of the first viewing. But when I started watching it, I was like, what the hell is this? Because everyone had recommended it to me. I watched it while I was in film school. Everyone had recommended it.
Ew, Dari went to film school.
Yes.
No, did I? What?
Yeah. Visual communications.
And you haven't watched with now.
Dorian Noel went to film school. Halu just had a video store contract. We could get 10 videos for a weekend. So obviously,
you probably had a better experience.
And paid way less.
No, I loved my degree that I did nothing with. But
that you're using as a fan right now.
You're using it as we speak.
Yeah, story on this. This multi-award winning revenue income generator called That 80s Show.
Yes.
SA on Facebook.
Just think, the three people out there, one of them will look up to us.
Someone out there who's watching us has watched with Noel and is yelling at you saying, how dare you? That's
okay.
All I can
okay,
you.
So if you're on Film Talk and with Noel and I is okay, that's
yeah.
fine. The thing is, quite nicely, that actually turned into a movie recommendation that I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
Right? So a backdoor movie recommendation.
Mm.
Oh. Kind of like Noel came in the back door today. That they wouldn't even let him in the entrance.
They wouldn't.
Yeah, they wouldn't. He had a,
is there a rule number four on that piece of paper? Okay.
A very, very grey part of the internet. So, guys, tis the season. If you don't know, you may be scrolling through TikTok, and I know this will happen. You're going to find Wham's Last Christmas, right? And you should be finding Wham's Last Christmas. It's the greatest song in the history of the world. You don't have to wait till Christmas. It's great to wait till Christmas. Noel's giving me devil eyes. It's great all year round. Listen to you can listen to it in July. It's the best Christmas song ever. This week, it outstreamed Do They Know It's Christmas by Band Aid. Noel posted a very derogatory comment because Noel is not a Last Christmas fan.
And he's a Band-Aid fan.
He is a Band-Aid, not denier. What's the opposite? A Band-Aid endorser.
I'm strange like that. My actual favorite Christmas song is The War Is Over with John Lennon and Yoko.
Good.
But I cannot stand Yoko, and I'm just going to put it out there for the world. Google her, kids.
Just destroyed the Beatles.
So I cannot listen to it.
Don't Google her music. Don't listen to that.
Yes. No, you should. That's going to be a new trend on TikTok tomorrow. Watch.
Oh, no. Oh, no to...
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Mm. Yeah. So, listen, I'm also not averse to a little bit of the Pogues, Christmas time in New York.
Oh, of course.
I don't hate Band-Aid. So... Because, you know, everything's got to be divisive. You can't like something without hating.
But it's the melody for me, though. It's not the words.
Do you hate Last Christmas?
No, of course not.
Okay.
I hate nothing about Christmas.
Okay, good. Okay.
I was named after Christmas.
Huh.
There you go.
There's something I didn't know.
Dorian's name's Noel.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe it
the
was
first
not
Noel.
Specifically about Christmas.
No, it wasn't. My dad's name's Leon. And my mom decided she's just going to flip
switch
that
the red letters around.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
I have something to add to that point just now when we're finished.
You'll never remember it, so you better add it now.
Okay, well, I'm going to give the punt now then for our friend the Celeb Savant's podcast, his interview with Lamar.
Okay, so I know it. Okay,
Of the mullet.
I've got it. Okay, so
we're going to get there.
So let's just finish. That would be bad presenting on my part. Bad
okay.
hosting. So
that's fine.
Good hosting. Right.
We'll get there.
Okay. Rainers in.
So, there is a game that gets played, and you might have seen the trend, right, on TikTok or anywhere else called Whamageddon, where people try to go as long as they can through December without yearning Last Christmas. It's filthy. It's disgusting. It's the biggest crime against humanity. I don't want to year about it, right? Now, I don't have to play it anywhere. Dory goes to clicks to make sure she hears it. Why?
You need to put that Christmas tree up. Clicks.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So people play this game where they try to avoid during Last Christmas.
If I didn't know you guys, I would not have heard it. Honestly.
Really?
Really?
So
how did you miss that part of the 80s? I don't understand.
Your algorithm is going to be so corrupted.
Messed up.
And I'm going to make sure I'm sending you Last Christmas as a voice note. And I'm also sending you my... We normally hate other versions of Last Christmas, except for the pudding mix. But I do love the singing... the hand fart
last
one.
Years, yeah. We've been doing this for a year now.
There's a hand fart one, but I still do love the little frog one.
Yeah, I also like
ding,
the frog
ding, 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 that guy. He does a pretty good version. So we normally hate those. I love him. guess who entered the group chat and finished Armageddon for so many people, even boosted the post? Andrew Ridgely posts a video this week at 1 minute past midnight on 1 December of Andrew Ridgely gets in the lift, turns around, Last Christmas starts playing, and he goes, "Tis the season."
Wow.
In the comments, Whamageddon's dead. You lose.
Hmm? Fantastic. That would have, otherwise, Mariah Carey would have won. And we cannot have that. No.
When the Grand Sorcerer himself, Andrew Ridgely, kills Whamageddon, you know you're it's in for done. Something. So listen, Wham's going for 3 years as Christmas number one. I worry they peaked too early. Because they already got into top 20 by November. It's too early. Kylie Minogue strategically planned her release. You know something's coming from Ed Sheeran.
Dude, these kids, if they listen to all three of them today, they are going to Google it, to put it on their Spotify, and they will make a trend again.
That's what they're going
to
do.
You actually have to watch the video for Last Christmas as well. Like, don't just listen.
Yes, man, those really eye contact is really, really... And that gorgeous mullet.
Oh, I mean, Noel's mullet, I love it. Listen, Noel, this heat in here has not been good for your mullet.
Okay.
It's like your mullet arrived to pick, like, nothing can handle this heat. No. So I really wanted to wear the Back to the Future cap, but I was like, I think I'd pass out.
Yeah.
I think I'd, like, you know those mascots?
I had to take my gloves off.
Yeah, those gloves.
And I had to not wear my Lumo green shirt.
Yeah, but I'm still wearing my TikTok.
The green shirt is because we didn't want to, like, lose you. We thought we were going to have to comp you out later.
Green screen.
And I thought you were taking off the gloves because you wanted to fight over with Nell and I.
Lamal.
Thank you. So, yes, Lamal, he of the never-ending story.
Yeah.
Okay.
He of the catch of Google.
Too Shy. Our good friend, you may have heard of him on the show. If you haven't heard of him before, his name is a celeb savant. He is on TikTok and all the platforms. He loves celebs. He would go to the opening of anything. Theater, movies, fashion shows. He's presenting an award at the Sarmons.
What a cool guy.
Hey? Right? Fantastic. So well. Fantastic head of hair.
Yeah.
Really great head of hair, looking so good. And he interviews celebs, and every now and again he'll interview somebody that Dory and I know. He claims, like, everyone else, like, we've never heard of them. That's not their fault. Again, we're the problem.
That's our fault. We live under a rock.
And just dropped today, on this very Friday, on this very first day of Noel, his interview with Limal.
Right? And have you listened?
Save for my playlist on the way home, because one of the things I want to hear about is Limal's response to, obviously, like so many 80s things, what's it like to trend again after your song becomes popular in Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Because Stranger Things, I think the end of season 3, Never Ending Story, the song is a key part of it. Song goes huge, song goes viral. Kate Bush, we don't even have to talk about.
No.
And on Stranger Things season 5, there's also been a couple of those moments and a couple of songs coming back into it. Now, Noel, have you, you're a Stranger Things guy?
I used to be, it was too long.
I can get that. I can get it. They're full on movies now.
It's cool, but if you were in the 80s, it's nothing new. So,
I love it for the content. I love it because it brings stuff back.
The soundtrack's fantastic.
There we go. So, of course, like we say, we've had Kate Bush.
Yeah.
She just became huge.
Literally got a number one for the first time with Stranger Things.
Do you know that song? I don't even think can belong in the 80s anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's just so...
You take that back.
But she was... Just shows how far ahead of her time she was.
I didn't even like that song in the 80s, but I love it now.
Yeah. Were you a Babushka girl?
I was a cloud bursting.
Yeah. I was a Wuthering Heights man.
Wuthering Heights. Oh, and Wuthering Heights,
that's a good one.
Babushka, of course, for the novelty.
Yes.
But I just never really liked running up that hill that much.
Nothing more fun than a podcast.
Running
up that hill, especially not now. Nothing more than a podcast with older people talking about things that were cool when they were young. So, it was cool when kids are young.
But we were really
right?
cool when we were young.
So, as Dory knows.
Yes.
We kick off. We're not going to give spoilers for Stranger Things yet, right?
No.
So nothing we're going to say you don't know, because it's been up for about 2 weeks now, and it was a week.
I won't give spoilers at all,
because people
won't
know
say anything about the plot.
No, not the plot,
no.
But the music.
The music we will
So straight up, episode 2.
Yep.
lady drawing a bath, what's playing? Fernando.
Dude. Could I think that's even 70s.
It is 70s. It was huge in the 80s.
Yeah.
But ABBA, I mean, come on.
ABBA transcends all time. Yes. So. Yeah.
It pops up. Very appropriate scene.
Yes.
And of course, they have to ask ABBA, what do they think about this?
Oh.
I love this because you want to hear a dad joke. You want to hear a dad joke. So the song goes in Stranger Things. Of course, ABBA know it's going to be in Stranger Things. And of course, they know what happened. So they speak to Vogue Scandinavia. Speak to Bjorn. He, the first B of ABBA. You know, my dad in the 70s looked exactly like Bjorn.
Wow. My dad looked like him a bit as well.
I think
so did mine.
Okay. Do we all have the same dad?
That would explain a lot, actually.
My dad looked like Art Brewer.
Okay, it's the presenter of Skutkus.
Skutkus.
Skutkus is a very different thing based on my understanding of Robert Lutz. So Bjorn says, they said, how did you come up with the song Fernando? Now, again, I know Fernando trends on TikTok. I've seen it every now and again. You know what it is. On a beautiful summer night, I was lying flat on my back on the jetty at my country house. Now, if I was rude, I'd try to do this in a Swedish accent, but I'm not going to. Point number five. Do not do accents. No matter how good you think you are.
You are not.
Very derogatory. Except my Pope's accent when I'm the Pope. The Pope's American now, so I have to do a different Pope. Anyway, go back to our back catalogue. You'll find when I do the Pope. So on a beautiful summer night, I was lying flat on my back on the jetty at my country house. I was looking at a starry, completely unobscured sky. I mean, what world does this man live in? No
Scandinavia.
Wonder, no wonder he's written.
Yep.
And no wonder he defined music. Now, kids, if you don't know, basically ABBA created every song we know nowadays. They set the template.
Yeah.
Watch the documentary Pop on Netflix.
Yeah.
Especially about Sweden and the producers. You'll be flabbergasted.
They have a finger in everyone's pie, just saying.
Right? Point number six. And Bjorn from ABBA started this because everyone copied his template. So basically Bjorn invented modern music, right? Bjorn and Quincy Jones. But just listen to this world that he lives in. He's on his jetty looking into a starry, unobscured sky. And it was as though the words were handed to me from above. I only had to reach out and grab them. There was something in the air that night.
Uh-huh.
He continued to say. I hope. I mean, it's from Vogue. They're not going to lie.
No.
Right?
Why would they lie?
Just reached out and grabbed Fernando.
Faith.
Hearing the drums. So he's very happy about it.
Of course.
But of course, that's not the big one.
No, that is not the big one.
That is not the big one. Now, it is. I don't know if it acts as a plot point, but Tiffany does enter the Stranger Things universe.
Yes.
Right? There is a very key part of it where a Tiffany cassette tape has popped up and I Think We're Alone Now plays.
With a pink ghetto blaster. None of this is spoilers.
None of it is spoilers.
Yeah.
Of course, Tiffany now back on the charts. I think she was the number one most streamed song. Think something like that in the
So here's the thing.
The number
right?
one most Shazam song.
So here's
that
the thing.
That you got a Shazam.
This is a whole new generation because remember we had the resurgence from Ted, which was I think 2012.
Yes, yes.
She already had the resurgence then.
Yes.
Now she's got another
she
one.
Had the, she had a second one with Umbrella Academy.
Yes, Umbrella
remember
Academy.
Remember they did the
exactly.
dance scene? Yes.
Exactly. So when it came on Stranger Things, my kid went, oh my God, this is the song from Umbrella Academy. I, of course,
said no.
Gently explained. Well, yes, it was in Umbrella Academy, but that's not where it's from.
You see, did you guys ever watch, sorry, Paolo, no, carry on, How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
Where Robin was this pop star
in
Canada,
yes.
also touring malls.
Yes.
And she would have been the Tiffany of her time.
She was a bit of more of a Debbie Gibson.
Yes.
I think they really Debbie Gibson'd her.
Yeah.
So Tiffany was on the show and they sang a duet.
Yes, they did. They
sang Castles in the Sand.
Yes. They did.
They did.
There was another. That was one of my favorite. You know, I won't bore. Anyway, so.
Just quickly to finish that off, I then showed my kid the original music video of I Think We're Alone Now. It is so good. literally, so I don't watch it.
Literally parts.
I remembered all the denim. There is so much denim.
So much denim. Now,
so
now,
much denim.
One of the things with Tiffany, right, when she first came in the 80s, she was about 15 or 16 years old.
16.
Pop princess. To promote her, they took her to malls to go perform. This was a thing.
Because they couldn't put her in clubs. She was too young.
She was too young. Yeah. So they took her, and that's where her fan base is.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't bring her to Four Ways Mall. Because I've got to be honest, no one would ever find her.
Tiffany is hot enough for Four Ways Mall.
Hot enough for Four Ways Mall. They wouldn't find her. No one would find her in this place. So if you're coming to Rage, bring a map, bring some order.
Bring your own air conditioner.
And make sure you check in with people, because it is not easy to get around. So she was performing in malls, and they shot the music video in there. A lot of denim. Some of the concert pieces are actually in the mall. Like, some of the video footage is in the mall. So she pops up in Umbrella Academy. You told your kid that, oh, that's from Umbrella Academy.
Yeah.
My kid knew, oh, that's the song that mom and dad do dance offs to. This is the house.
Whole different con.
This is, leave it there.
Context.
This is the home. This is the home.
Yes.
This is the home that I am.
Your kids.
But I did show my kid also the scene from Ted with the Ninja Turtles.
Yes. Fantastic.
So I think my parenting credit is
pretty good,
there, right?
Not bad. So
we need to get back to Lamal. Are you done with Tiffany? Or are you
I'm segueing it because because Tiffany, most Shazam, number one Shazam song.
Right.
She's going to enter back into the charts.
Of course.
Also, what links her? Here's her tweet again. Like, you know, I was complaining about Corey Feldman not using full words.
Yeah.
Tiffany goes onto Instagram. Wow, number one on Shazam with ITWAM.
ITWAM.
Yeah, I also had to do that.
I think we're alone now. ITWAM. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a long song title. Fair enough.
It is.
Oh, yeah. I think we're alone now.
Yeah.
Okay, it's fine.
Wow. Hello, dude.
Okay, I think... You're from Pretoria. I'll give you a second on that. So Tiffany's very happy. Not as happy as I'm sure when she was interviewed by our good friend... The celeb savant.
Yes, there's also an interview with Tiffany. She's cooking.
While
he interviews her, because that's her thing now.
Yeah, she does cookbooks.
She's a foodie. Yeah. And a cook.
Did you know this?
No.
That's her second life now.
I thought when you said she's cooking, I'm like, she is.
Yeah, no, she does cooking books.
Food things.
Yeah. We're very disappointed. We feel as an opportunity missed. She should have called the book, I Think We're a Scone Now. But alas.
I'm not giving him the look. I'm not.
Alas.
He wants the look. That's why he does it. So I'm just going
to
ignore him.
I think we're a scone now.
It works, Dari. It works at so many. But back to Limahl. So those are two great interviews. Loads more Celeb Savant. He does a lot of 80s stuff.
I have listened to the Limahl interview.
Right.
And I have to just quickly tell you. He explains where the name comes from. I never knew this. It might have been in my number one magazines all those years ago. But I never knew where the name Lamal comes from. If you want to know, go listen to the interview with Celeb. I'm not giving you any spoilers.
Dari, it's called a content snippet. It's called a promo.
Yeah.
So you give a piece of content. The actual piece of content. How did he get his name? You can't leave people hanging like that. If Celeb Savant, he should have been doing his show today.
It's a long story and we're running out of time.
We're actually not.
Okay. it's really cool because he basically, like you, Noel.
That's right. I didn't want to say it.
He switched the letters of his surname around.
Yeah.
His first name's actually Chris, Christopher. And he thought, well, there's not much you can do with Chris. But his surname is Hamill, much like Mark Hamill from Star Wars. And so he looked at the word Hamill and he switched the letters around because he was like, everybody's got a stage name. I need a stage name. And that's where it came from.
Wonderful.
Dyslexia is your friend.
Exactly.
Don't let your teachers tell you otherwise.
Exactly.
I put the sex in dyslexia.
There we go. So, normally this time of year when I do a show, I come up with a list of things Dari can buy me.
Right.
Okay. Dari, you're going to have a little bit more of a difficult time finding these things, but I know you will go through at least the effort of Googling once, and that's fine. So, firstly, there's a Depeche Mode Sparkly. Put this up on that 80 Show SF Facebook page. A Depeche Mode cassette player.
Huh.
With the release of Depeche Mode's greatest hits. Covered in rhinestones.
Near mine.
So a Walkman. That's a Walkman.
Don't
sorry, not
do
a
that to me, dude.
Yeah, this thing is beautiful. They say it's got all the modern accoutrements like Bluetooth. No, I don't need that.
But it's actually a cassette player.
It's a Walkman.
Okay.
It's a Walkman with rhinestones on the headphones. I don't care if it's got Bluetooth. I don't care. Does it come with a pencil to rewind it?
Yeah.
That's all I care about.
Try Walkman in my shoes.
So that's one. That's one. Look at him. Why does he get a high five?
Did you not hear the joke?
Why does he get a high five?
Because that was really clever.
Yeah, you know, it's recency bias. It's because you knew. That's fine. Just wait. Just wait 12
years. I came far to be here, you guys.
He has traveled from a far place.
Who came further? Edenvale or Pretoria? Who came further?
It's actually true. I think I traveled
closer. Yeah. The next thing I want you to look for me is Rodney Dangerfield.
Back to school.
No. His rap album. Rodney Dangerfield released a rap album called Rappin' Rodney with some of the great lyrics on it. I played hide and seek when I was 3. Why? They wouldn't even look for me. I don't get no respect. I was an ugly kid. I never had fun. They took me a dog show and I won.
Wow, word to your mother, Rodney.
Was this from the 80s? Or is this a recent album?
Oh, no, from the 80s. Sir Mix-a-Lot created the track for it. Okay,
I'm gonna have to listen to that.
So that I would like, maybe go through the box of something that you bought from some strange man. It could be in there. That's another gift. But the final gift, maybe I'll like this one the most. A book written by a Muppet. No, not Ron L. E. Hubbard, whatever the man's name is. Should have got the name better before that joke. I should have prepped the name.
Now you're in trouble.
Should have prepped. That's not on the rules. It doesn't say I can't make fun of him.
Okay.
No, written by Miss Piggy. Called Miss Piggy's Guide to Life.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine? I just want you to imagine how dated that book is. Because now we remember the character of Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
Okay. Imagine how dated that is. Some excerpts from the book. You must take risks and you must suffer terribly. Never eat more than you can lift. Bit of dieting advice.
Goodness, Piggy.
And lifting your purse and naps counts as exercise. Be a glamorous guest, but scavenge the host's medicine cabinet is good for a conversation starter.
That's some solid advice.
So that's Miss Piggy's book.
No advice about how to get rid of a frog in your throat?
Wow. That is high fives. That is wow. That's not on the rules. That's
breaking all the rules.
No, that wasn't on the rules. That's not on us.
What are you talking about? I'm literally asking. You know, sometimes you get sometimes you know you get that.
That's not on us. So listen, we're gonna wrap up That 80 Show. Thank you for joining us on the stream. If you liked what you heard, That 80 Show SA, you can find us on Facebook because we are for old people and we don't want to confuse you with the new things. But we also produce a weekly podcast, That 80 Show SA. Just look for it. You'll find it wherever you prefer to listen predominantly. But maybe
consume.
Next year. Maybe next year. Building a new studio with maybe we go video. We don't know.
Whoa.
Definitely we'll have an aircon. That's whew. I'm not going to tell. But like every show, and so we're taking, we won't have a show next week, but right through Christmas and that, we will have shows and we drop a show every Friday.
Yes.
But keep on That 80 Show SA on Facebook. Noel is the curator supreme. You can find him, Retro12.
Retro012.
On all the platforms. I'm not as old as Paolo.
Okay. I am old.
TikTok, Instagram,
and
Facebook.
He actually has a great Instagram. You've got to go check out some of the merch.
Thank you. Retro Pretoria, you guys.
All the merch that you see here today is from Noel. You can get, there's a whole box of stuff in there. There's either a corpse or more of these cushions.
He does really cool badges. You can't read this one, and that's probably a good thing.
Yes, that's very good that you can't read it. Caps, all the stuff, and he puts on fantastic events as well.
Yes.
If
you
like
guys.
Retro, you want to go
legends.
Play
Thank
arcade
you.
Games, you want to, you know what, they're great because it's just nostalgia stuff, right? Like the video cassettes we're talking about, like if you are of that age, and even if you're not, I know like the physical media and the tactile like experience with them is coming back.
The smell of
opening a videotape. There is quite nothing. Like it takes me straight back. And then it triggers the smell of like damp carpets.
Yep.
And weed in every video shop. Yeah, I went to. So that 80 show finish off with two 80s truths and a lie.
Ooh.
Where I give out three factoids. Two are true. One is a lie. And my co-hosts have to guess what it is. Right. So
can we confer?
You can confer, okay, as a team. This is a team thing.
Right.
This is like, what was the one? Telefun quiz.
Ah, okay.
It's like Telefun quiz. Not Nerd for Nerds, because I don't want singing.
Remember everyone on the way to Margate had that telequack?
In the back.
In the back.
It did. I cannot.
And we were so stylish.
Oh, it was the best. So, should I be Martin Bailey?
Yes. I'll be Eddie XT.
Are you going to put on an Irish accent? Remember the rules.
Right. So, Eddie Murphy in the news a lot. You'll see him trending. He was so huge in the 80s. He turned down the role of both Ghostbusters and Who Framed Roger Rabbit to be in Beverly Hills Cop, which made him a star, but he turned down a role in both of those. Richard Dean, so that's fact number one. Richard Dean Anderson, MacGyver,
mm-hmm,
right? You know, when you say I'm going to MacGyver, someone says I'm going to MacGyver something, there was a whole TV show about it.
Yes, that's where it comes from.
Right? So he's also disappeared for a while, but he popped up recently to make a public announcement that if you ever receive a request on social media from Richard Dean Anderson, that it's fake. That there is a whole industry of fake Richard Dean Anderson accounts scamming people for money, that he had to make a public appeal. Factor number two.
What, hang on, Richard Dean Anderson is asking people for money?
No.
Like, come on.
I mean, listen, there's only so many things you can build with paperclips.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose.
You know? And then number three fact, before landing the role of Jack Tripper in Three's Company, John Ritter was the show's full-time stunt coordinator. So they had another actor lined up to play his character, and he would show them how to fall over stuff and be clumsy and stuff, and they're just like, why don't you do it? Right? So those are three facts. Two are true, one is a lie. Eddie Murphy turned down Ghostbusters and Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I think that's true.
Richard Dean Anderson had to make a public plea not to give him money because there are so many spoof accounts.
I think that's true.
And number three, John Ritter was originally the stunt coordinator for Three's Company.
Oh, really? He's so animated. I think he was the stunt coordinator.
So you think the first one's false? Which one do you think is false?
I don't know what's going on.
I'm going with the third one being false.
John Ritter, Noel, you want to lock it in?
I'm going to lock in the first one.
Oh, okay. What does the winner get? The winner gets to be cool. The winner gets to go outside. Dory, you are correct. See, Dory knows this game too well.
Always correct. Well done.
She knows this game too well. John Ritter, that is a complete made-up story. Eddie Murphy, yes, he's offered a role in Ghostbusters. They don't say which one.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be that guy and figure out which one, but he says it's not that one. Mm-hmm. And he really wanted to be the Bob Hoskins character in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Huh.
But of course, and if you thought about it, the timing doesn't work, but he knew about it. And then Richard Dean Anderson, how crazy is that? He was on a podcast and about it saying, yeah, I have to keep going on social media saying, I'm not asking for money. It's not me. Don't send me money. Send us money. This is That 80 Show. Thanks for joining me, Dorian. Oh, goodbye.
Bye.
Cheers, you know.